Okay. I remember the recorder this time. Okay, so tonight's going to be our last topic under the general principle of Kol HaChayot. The next week in Mitzvah Shem, we're going to be off for a week, and then 2 weeks, we will hopefully be back in person in Landers, starting our next principle of Darvish Enim Skavim. Okay, fine. But tonight, we're going to end off the principle of Kol HaChayot with an extremely practical discussion that comes up. And the main topic of tonight's shir is going to be the issue of doing malacha for chola she'im bo sakan. If let's say we have a person on Shabbos who's sick, now if he's a chola she'yesh bo sakan, if his life was on the line, obviously you do whatever it takes to help the guy out. Question is, what if he's a chola she'im bo sakan? So life's not on the line, but he could use some medical attention. What kind of dispensations can we allow for chola she'im bo sakan? So that's the main issue we're going to be focusing on tonight. Now, Rishonim pointed out that there seems to be a stira in Gemaras on this issue as to the types of dispensations we would make for chol she'im bo sakana. There's a stira between a Gemara in Beitz on the one hand and a Gemara in Ksubis on the other hand. So let's go through the two Gemaras, we'll set up the stira, and then we'll take a step back and see how the Rishonim tried to resolve this contradiction. Okay. So the first Gemara we have is a Gemara in Beitz on Chav Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara there brings down the following incident. There was once a person who had a certain eye ailment on Shabbos. His life was not on the line, wasn't dangerous to his life, but he was a chol she'im bo sakana. And the remedy for this type of ailment is to apply a certain ointment to the eye, which paints the eye. Somehow you paint the eye with this ointment, and that's going to remedy this type of ailment. Now, the Mishnah in Shabbos on Sadi Dalet on the base tells us that applying this eye paint to the eye involves an Issur Derabbanan. This machlokes in the Mishnah there, but we pass like the Chachamim. There's an Issur Derabbanan to apply eye paint to one's eye on Shabbos. So our fellow here in Maseches Beitza, who's having this malady, has an issue now. He wants to do an Issur Derabbanan to take care of his malady. Is that permissible or not? That's the issue that came up in Beitza. So Gemara says that this person went to a Meimar, and a Meimar told him, have a goy do it. You can ask a goy to apply it to your eye, and that's perfectly permissible. So that was the heter of a Meimar. And then the Gemara brings another version of this story that actually happened to a Meimar himself. A Meimar himself had this malady. A Meimar himself allowed the goy to do this Issur Derabbanan by applying this ointment to his eye because he was a chola she'im bo sakan. Fine. So that's the first part of the Gemara there in Beitza. Then the Gemara brings Rav Ashi, who asks a kasha on a Meimar. He says to a Meimar, how could you permit having the goy do this Issur Derabbanan by applying this ointment to your eye when you, the patient, are going to be participating in this Issur Derabbanan? Because in order for the goy to apply this stuff to your eye, you're going to open and close your eye. You're facilitating, you're aiding the goy in applying the ointment to your eye. You're what's called a misayaya. And since you're participating, so this should be rendered usur on account of your involvement. That was a kasha Rav Ashi asked to a Meimar. So a Meimar said that Rav Zvid already asked me that question, that this should be usur. And I told him that I'm of the opinion that this secondary role that a person plays in helping the doctor apply this, helping the goy apply this medicine is not significant. The goy is the real one doing it. I'm just playing a secondary role by opening and closing my eye. And so therefore, it's what's called misayaya embo mamish. The secondary role is not significant. The real participant, the real person doing this act is the goy. And so therefore, it is permissible. So that's the Gemara here in Beitza on Chafez and Badal, telling us that a Meimar paskin, that the goy can apply this ointment to the patient's eye. We have this chol she'im bo sakana. We need to do this Issur Derabbanan to remedy his situation. A Meimar said, have a goy do it. And although you're helping the guy out a little bit, you're opening and closing your eye, but no problem. Misayaya imbo mamish, the secondary role isn't deemed significant. Fine. Now, comes along the Ramban and the Rashba, and they make a diak in this Gemara. They say that it's clear from this Gemara that we're not letting the Jew do an Issur Derabbanan for the Chol she'im bo sakana. We have this Chol she'im bo sakana. We have this Chola here who, you know, he's not, his life is not on the line, but he's in pain. And the solution is to do an Issur Derabbanan, applying this eye paint to his eye, which again is an Issur Derabbanan. and we're not letting the Jew do it. We let the Goy do it, we don't let the Jew do it. To the extent that the Rav Ashi was even bothered, well, how are you letting the Goy do it when you're participating, you're playing a role in doing this Issa D'Rabbanan, and even this secondary role should be Azar, to which the Gemara said, no, the secondary role isn't significant. But had it been significant, had we been worried about the participation of the Jew, it would have been a problem, despite the fact that this is just an Issa D'Rabbanan. So says the Rashba and the Ramban, it's mashmar from this Gemara that we do not waive Isurim D'Rabbanan for a chola she'en bo sakana. The person is a chola, and his life is not on the line, and he needs, for his treatment, we need to do an Isur D'Rabbanan. We do not waive Isurim D'Rabbanan to help treat this patient if he's a chola she'en bo sakana. That's the diak that the Rashba and the Ramban make from the Gemara here in Beitza. Just going to stop for a few seconds for questions. Penny, you have a question?
Yeah. Saying that the action of opening closing the eye isn't a siwa, or that there's no messiah by Isur D'Rabbanan?
Okay, so Penny happens to be asking a remarkable question here about the details of messiah in Bomamish, that the Gemara is saying that the secondary role is not deemed significant. Mirtasim, we will get to that sugya at some point, hopefully. But right now, it's beyond the scope of our abilities. Yeah, Ellie, you have a question? Good, fine. Okay, now we come over to Gemara number two, which is a Gemara in Ksubis that's going to have opposite implications for what we allow for a chola she'en bo sakana. Gemara in Ksubis is on Daf Samach Amin Aleph. The Gemara there brings up another person who has a malady. He's a chola she'en bo sakana, and this time he has an illness that causes him to cough a lot. I'm sure he's wearing a mask. I'm sure 1,000 years ago they required him to wear a mask when he had this coughing issue. But that's the second he's called a goneach. A goneach is a person who's coughing because he has an illness. Now his remedy is to drink fresh goat's milk. If you drink fresh goat's milk, sounds delicious, then that's the solution to this malady of this fellow. But the issue is that this is taking place on Shabbos, and milking a goat on Shabbos involves the malacha of dash. Dash, when you milk a goat, you're extracting the milk from the udder, and that bears resemblance to dash. Dash is the malacha of threshing when you separate the grain from the chaff. When you get the milk out of the udder, so apparently that bears resemblance to dash if it's under malachas dash. So the question is, so what can we do for this poor fellow? He's coughing a lot and, you know, he's in quarantine here. So what can we do for this guy to remedy his situation? He has to do malachas dash. Says the Gemara that we're going to let him do this malacha of dash, kilachar yad. If you milk the goat in an abnormal manner, so as we're learning all along, kilachar yad knocks it down to a derabanan. Whenever you do any malacha in an abnormal manner, that knocks it down to an issa derabanan. And so if you do a kilachar yad, since it's only issa derabanan, we're going to waive the issa derabanan for the chola she'en bo sakana. Since he's in tsar, he's in pain, he's in anguish, says the Gemara. So the makam tsar, we're not gozer, is perfectly permissible. How do you do it in a manner of kilachar yad? The Gemara says that he should drink straight from the udder. That would be a very awkward way of getting the milk out of the goat. Not to lose your appetite before the Carls and Gavis here, but that would be a very weird way of milking the cat, getting the milk out. That's the way he should do it. Kalachar yad. We're going to waive it for this whole she'en bo sakana. So now this Gemara in Ksubis is telling us here that we do waive Yisurim D'Rabbanan for a whole she'en bo sakana. So taking a step back, now we have a steer between two Gemaras, Gemara in Beitza, Gemara in Ksubis. Marin Beitza is telling us that you cannot apply this eye ointment. The Jew cannot apply this eye ointment to a chola she'en bo sakana because it involves an issur d'rabbanan. And we're not going to waive this issur d'rabbanan for this chola. Whereas the Gemara in Ksubis is telling us that we are going to let you do dash as a issur d'rabbanan. If you do a kalachar yad and you knock it down to a d'rabbanan, you can milk this goat on Shabbos because it's done for a chola she'en bo sakana. And so the question now becomes, so what's the resolution to the stira? When do we allow Yisrim D'Rabbanan for an Embo Sakana? When do we not allow Yisrim D'Rabbanan? What's the yishuv to this stira? That's the kasha that the Rishonim raised. Yeah, Penny. The Makom Tzar L'Gazer, I think. Penny, you have a question?
Yeah, I mean, only because you didn't mention it. In the first case, was it a case of Tzar? That's the obvious difference.
So it's an eye ailment. The guy is in pain. So the order doesn't use the word tsar, but
he wants. Okay, so just we're assuming that because yeah, if it was just some sort of medication for
Right. No, it sounds like it's not like pink eye, you know, like he feels fine, but they won't let him into school, you know?
I don't know. I mean, that's the obvious distinction just based on what you said.
You should know the truth that there are Rishonim that are beyond the scope we're doing tonight that do make these types of distinctions in terms of the type of illness, but the Rishonim we're going to be working with are going to assume it's all the same category. Okay. That's a very fair point. Penny? So Penny's asking, is the Heter and Ksubis Malachas Dash or the Isra of Refuah? So it's both, but we're focusing on Dash. Malachas Dash is being done. We're permitting it. Okay. So there are two approaches in the Rishonim for how to resolve this Stira, which are going to have major ramifications, Lahalah. So let's go through the two approaches. We'll see how we pass again, and then we'll plug it into some interesting Shilas that come up in the postgame. Fine. So it's Machlokes in the Ritva versus the Rashba. Two basic shitas, how to resolve this stira with major nafkaminas lahalach. Starting with the shita of the Ritva. The Ritva says that we will never waive an iser derabanan for a chola she'ein bo sakana. If your life is not on the line, if a person's life is not on the line, we're not going to make any dispensations. You can never do an iser derabanan for a chola she'ein bo sakana. And so that's the Gemara and Beitza that conforms with this Gemara and Beitza, that you can't do this Issa Derabanan of painting the guy's eye, because you can't waive an Issa Derabanan for a Chola She'en Bo Sakana. Now, if that's the case, how do we explain the Gemara and Ksubis? We're letting you do Dash Kelachar Yad, and it's for a Chola She'en Bo Sakana. Why are we letting you do Dash Kelachar Yad if we don't waive Issa Derabanan? Says the Ritva, that in this situation, when you milk this goat Kelachar Yad, it's not a single Derabanan, it's a double derabanan. For two separate reasons, there are two mitigating factors in this case. On two different accounts, it's downgraded from a deraisa to a derabanan. When there's a double derabanan, then we will waive that for a chola she'en bo sakana. Why is it a double derabanan? What are the two mitigating factors in this situation? So factor number one, as we keep emphasizing, is you're doing it kalach rayat. Anytime you do anything in an abnormal way, that always knocks it down to a derabanan. So that's one mitigating factor in this situation. The heter of kilachraya. Then we have a second mitigating factor, says the Ritva, in that the whole malach of dash in this case is only the rabbanan. Because there's a principle, the we paskin like, says the Ritva, or at least this Gemara is assuming, ein disha ella ligadule karka. The malach of dash only applies to things that grow from the ground. It does not apply on a derisive level to anything that doesn't grow from the ground. So since this goat doesn't grow from the ground, there's no dash on a deraisa level when you milk the goat. Yes, it bears a resemblance to dash. You're extracting the milk from the udder. And so therefore, we're going to aser midarabanan, but it's not an issue of dash midaraisa. So it says the Ritva that it's a trade rabbanan. There are two separate reasons why this is downgraded in severity. First of all, you're doing it kalach riyan. You're doing it in an abnormal way. Second of all, the malach itself is derabanan because it's not growing from the ground. For a double derabanan, we will waive that for echola she'en bo sakana. So that is shita number one, the shita of the Ritva, that we never waive a single derabanan for a chol she'en bo sakana, but we will waive a double derabanan. There are two separate reasons why it's downgraded to a derabanan. So then we have this compound heter, and we're going to permit that for a chol she'en bo sakana. Fine. So that is shita number one. Shita number two is the shita of the Rashba. The Rashba gives a different resolution to this dira. Says the Rashba, that generally speaking, we're not going to waive in Issur Derabanan for a chola she'en bo sakana. And so that explains the Gemara in Beitza, that when it comes to applying this eye paint, this is an Issur Derabanan, we're not going to waive that for a chola she'en bo sakana. We don't generally waive Issur Derabanan for a chola she'en bo sakana. But says the Rashba that there's one exception to the rule, or one big exception to the rule, and that is kalacharya. If you do a malacha in an abnormal way, that type of Issur Derabanan, we will waive for a chola she'en bo sakana. Even if it's just a single derabanan, even if you're doing it on a malacha deraisa, but it's in an abnormal way, the kalach rayad is so unique, it's such a strange form of an iser derabanan, that we're going to waive for a chola she'en bo sakana. So in the Gemara in Ksubis, it really is dash midaraisa. There are ways of making this a dash midaraisa when you milk this goat. But when you do a kalach rayad, that knocks it down to a derabanan. It might be a single derabanan. But since it's the Issur Derabanan of Kalach Rayad, that Issur Derabanan we do waive for Chola She'en Bo Sakana. It bears no resemblance to typical Malacha performance. We're not so concerned that if we play around with this Issur Derabanan once in a while to waive it, we're not so concerned that it's going to lead to any issues. So we're going to waive the issue of the Rabbanon of Kalach HaYad for Chol She'im B'Sakana, even if it's a single Rabbanon. Again, you're doing Kalach HaYad on a Malacha Deraisa, so it's only knocked down for one reason. We're going to waive that for a Chol She'im B'Sakana. So we have now a big time Machlokas Rishonim, how to resolve the seer in Gemara's. When do we allow you to do a Isser Derabanan for Chol She'im B'Sakana? Marim Beitzad said you can't waive, you can't do the eye paint. Marim Tzubis says you could milk the goat Kalach HaYad. What's the resolution to the stira? The Ritfun approach one is saying, the question is it a single derabanan or a double derabanan? If it's a single derabanan, we never waive that for a chol she'im bo sakana, whether it's kalach hayad or anything else, we never waive a single derabanan. If it's a double derabanan, that we will waive for a chol she'im bo sakana. And the Rival learned the Gemara Ksubas as a double derabanan. It's the dash itself is derabanan, it's kalach hayad, that's why we waive it for a chol she'im bo sakana. The second resolution, second approach of the Shita of the Rashba, that the chilek is the type of derabanan. Generally speaking, we don't waive Yisrael derabanan for Embo Sakana. That's a Gemara and Beitza. But there's one exception to the rule, which is Kalach Riyad. Even if it's done in Malacha Deraisa, you do it in an abnormal way, it's knocked down to a derabanan for one reason. But this type of derabanan is a very unique derabanan that we're going to waive for Embo Sakana. That's the Gemara in Ksubas. Yeah. That is a good question. So the Gemara in Shabbos on Sadeh Alam Beis discusses that. It might be Tzoveya. It might be like a Tzoveya Derabanan. So it's going to, the Chacham, Machlok is Tanan, it's the Reis of Derabanan. But we pass, like the Chacham in the Mishnah, they say it's an Isser Derabanan. Okay, so Benny's asking a good question. It's a good question. The day is short and the malacha is big. but thank you for, it's a good question. Okay, fine. Now, how do we paskin in this machlokas between the Rashba versus the Ritva? So for now, I'm gonna focus on the Ashki Psak here, but we'll get to this Faradim soon. So you'll see. But it could be you guys passing like us also, so I don't know. But so there's a major machlokas between the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch Harav on how to paskin in this machlokas. Big time machlokas here. Starting with the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah paskins like the Ritva. He doesn't quote him by name, but he paskins like the stance of the Ritva, that we never waive a single derabanan for chola she'ein bo sakana, even if it's kalach hayad. If a person would be sick and we need to tend to him on Shabbos, and he needs a malcha deraisa done for him, we do not waive Yisurim derabanan for an imbo sakana, even kalach hayad. That's the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. The Shulchan Aruch Rav paskins like the Rashba. He paskins that we do let you do a malacha deraisa with a shinoi for chola she'imbo sakana, that the derabanan of kalach hayad is exceptional. We do waive that issa derabanan for chola she'imbo sakana. So big time machlokas poskim had a paskin, Mishnah Berurah versus Shulchan Aruch Rav. The Shevet Alevi and Rav Shlomo Zalman both say that b'shas hadachak you can rely on the Shulchan Aruch Rav. That ideally you should always try to circumvent, you should use a goy or other methods, but b'shas hadachak, they both paskin that you can rely on the Shulchan Aruch Rav, which is a major, major heter. So fine. So these are all the shitas. And with that, we've kind of concluded part one of today's shir. We're just setting up the shitas now. Machlokas Rashba versus Ritva, or Ritva versus Rashba. And Psak Halach is Machlokas in the Mishnah Berurah versus the Shulchan Aruch Rav. Now, as we move over to part two, we're going to go through some shailas that came up in the poskim where these shitos, the Ritva and the Rashba, Mishnah Berurah, Shulchan Aruch Rav, are all going to play in on these shailas. So just to emphasize one more time, that the point of contention is going to be, do we allow for a malacha deraisa done kalach hayad? If a person is a chola she'im bo sakana, can you do a malacha deraisa kalach hayad to tend to this chola? So the Ritva and the Mishnah Berurah say you cannot. That is their shita. And the Rashba, Shulchan Aruch Rav, say that you can. So that's the point of the contention for part two. That's going to be our big machlokas. Can you do a malacha deraisa kalach hayad for a chola she'im bo sakana? Yeah.
Does the Rashba agree with the Ritva in that derabanan or derabanan would be okay for a chola?
Okay, so Avram is asking if you have, would the Rashba agree? Let's say you have a double derabanan that doesn't involve kalach hayad, meaning if it's kalach hayad, you don't eat a double derabanan. So certainly it would be mutter. But if it would be a different type of double derabanan, would he permit that for chol she'im bo sakana? To be honest, I'm not fully sure. We'll have to go through the segment of Shem at some point. So that's my answer to that. It's an easy way of answering the question. I don't know. he probably would permit it, but okay. Fine. So Shaila number one. The Nishmas Avram brings the Shlomo Zalman, who brings the following scenario. And he wants to know what a person should do in the following case. Let's say you have a person on Shabbos who is a chola she'en bo sakana. And again, his life is not on the line, but he's a chola and he feels that he needs medical attention. He needs medical attention on Shabbos. So he goes to a doctor who is Jewish, but not from. And maybe in our Israel is more light, more often happens, but whatever the case may be, a person on Shabbos goes to a doctor who's Jewish, but not from. And you see that this doctor is about to perform a malacha deraisa to tend to the patient. What would be an example of a case that he's going to perform a malacha deraisa? So let's just make life simple. Let's assume he has an incandescent bulb that he's going to use. He needs lighting in the room to take care of his patient. So he's going to turn the light on, which is going to involve a malacha deraisa. Turning on an incandescent bulb would be a malacha deraisa of mavir. So you see that the doctor is about to perform a malacha deraisa. Shlomo Zalman wants to know, would we tell this patient to quickly do it yourself, klachar yad? You go to this doctor, he's going to turn the light on. Should the patient quickly use his elbow, turn the light on to preempt the doctor to save him from doing a malacha deraisa? That's the shaila that Shlomo Zalman poses. He wants to know, what do you do in this scenario? So his analysis of the shaila is like this. He says it's going to depend on the Ritva versus the Rashba. As to what to do in this case, depends on the Ritva versus the Rashba. Starting with the Shita of the Ritva, Ritva's Shita is, we do not let a Malacha Deraisa Klach Hayat. You can't do that for a Chola She'en Bo Sakana. We don't permit a Klach Hayat on a Malacha Deraisa for a Chola She'en Bo Sakana. So according to the Ritva, if the Jew, the patient, the from patient would quickly turn the light on, he's doing something Aser. You can't do that. It's an Isser Derabanan. It's true, you did a Klach Hayat. That's not Mutter for a Chola She'en Bo Sakana. You're doing it to help yourself out, so the doctor can tend to you. For ding done for a chola, that's not permissible. So according to the Ritva, this would not be a solution. It's not put mutter for you to do that. You have to just sit back and not do it. And nebach, unfortunately, the doctor is going to do a malacha deraisa. It's not a solution to quickly do it yourself because you yourself are doing an iser, which is not permitted according to the Ritva. So according to the Ritva, you just sit back and nebach, this person is about to do an act of chola Shabbos. Moving over to the sheets of the Rashba, Rashba holds that it's mutter to do a malacha deraisa for a chol she'en bo sakana kilachar yad. As long as you do it in an abnormal way, we permit that for a chol she'en bo sakana. So according to the Rashba, this would be a good idea. If you quickly do it with your elbow, you're doing this malacha kilachar yad for a chola, for yourself, so that he can tend to you. It would be perfectly permissible according to the Rashba. So that's his analysis of the shayla, and he paskins like the Rashba. As we pointed out before, Shlomo Zalman paskins that b'diyeved b'shas hadchak, we pass like the Rashba. And so he says, in this situation, you should do just that. If you ever would visit a non-frum doctor on Shabbos, you see he's about to do a malacha deraisa, you yourself should step in quickly if you can and use your elbow, do a kalach hayad, because that's perfectly permissible according to the Rashba. And we pass like that, b'shas hadachah. So that is shayla number one. Yeah. Are you asking what right do you have to visit this doctor? You're doing lift neighbor, you're causing this doctor to do sounds like you're asking if you're bringing the lift neighbor, sounds like you're asking how can you visit this patient? What right do you have to visit this doctor? What is it?
Once you're there,
so then you're there. Lift neighbor would be before you went. Before you went, so we could discuss lift neighbor. Like, is it okay to go to a Jewish doctor who's not from? He might do a malach on your behalf.
Once you're there,
I don't know if there's lift neighbor anymore. You're there. I mean, you decided it's not lift neighbor by going. Once you're there, he's going to be doing stuff, and there's a risk he might do stuff. But so the real shy will be whether you can go.
So that's
an interesting question. Okay, shaila number two. Okay, the second shaila is going to sound like it's out of left field, but we're going to show how it's going to be connected. And the shaila is plunging toilets on Shabbos. Super halachah maisa here. If a person's toilet gets clogged on Shabbos, is it permissible to plunge a toilet on Shabbos? So this is why we get Carlos and Gabby's here. We're going to somehow connect Chol Sheimus to kind of plunging toilets and Shabbos. Very impressive. Okay, that's what is that? Fine. Okay, that's what we're gonna do right now. Now it's gonna we're gonna need to do a little bit of groundwork here. So we're gonna go through the Shaila properly. This is a major discussion on the postgame. We're gonna look at the primary source and analyze it, and we're gonna see it's gonna connect into the Ritva and the Rashba. That our Ritva and Rashba are gonna connect into the Shaila of using a plunger on Shabbos. Okay. So the Shaila begins, and we'll plug it into the postgame afterwards. But let's first do the, what the postgame themselves did. Let's learn it up properly ourselves, and then we'll see what they have to say. So the Shaila begins with that very same Gemara in Ksubis that we quoted with milking the goat. The Gemara in Ksubis in Daf Samach, right after bringing the case of milking a goat, brings another case. And the second case is the primary source on the Shaila of using a plunger on Shabbos, of unclogging your toilet on Shabbos. Is the very next piece of Gemara, the next line of Gemara, there in Ksubis. So let's learn the Gemara up there with the Pnei Yeshua and the Ritva and the Rashba, and we're going to set up the Shaila for plungers. Okay, the Gemara there brings the following case. It says, let's say a person has a gutter that gets clogged on Shabbos. There's debris, grass, straw that gets stuck in the gutter, and the gutter gets clogged on Shabbos, and it starts backing up. The gutter, because it's blocked, is backing up onto the roof. It's causing damage. So the question becomes, can you unclog this gutter on Shabbos? That's the Shaila the Gemara brings up. And the Gemara already indicates that this is going to involve an issue of Makabe Patish. Makabe Patish is where you finish the production of an item. You have an item that's just about finished, and you finish its production. That is the Malacha of Makabe Patish. Now, when this gutter got clogged, so we have this device here that has a defect in it. It's not functioning properly. If you unclog this gutter, you're now causing it to function properly. That is, in a certain sense, a reestablishing, recreating this vessel. That fits under the malach of makab patish. So we're discussing an isser of makab patish. So what can we do for this guy? His gutter is backed up. Water is going into his roof now. There's damage being caused. But the solution involves makab patish. Says the Gemara that you can do it kalachar yad. That if you unclog the gutter kalachar yad, that is going to be perfectly permissible. That since it's b'makom hefsid, we have hefsid on the line, so we're going to waive the iser of makab patish. That's now derabanan because you did a kalachar yad. We're going to waive that for the situation of hefsid. That is the psak of the Gemara. Gemara's solution is, how would he do this in a weird manner? It says you should use your feet. Do it instead of using a utensil, let's say, to professionally unclog the gutter. So knock it out with your feet. Stomp on the debris and get it out. And that would be an abnormal way of clearing out the gutter. We're going to permit this Issa Derabanan for the sake of Hefsid. That is the Gemara in Ksubis. Okay. Comes along the Pnei Yeshua, and he says that the interpretation of this Gemara, how to understand what's going on in this Gemara, is going to depend on the Ritva versus the Rashba. In part one of our Shir, we had a focus Ritva versus Rashba as to, can you do a Malacha Kilachra Yad for Cholosh Imbo Sakana? Are we going to let you do an Isser D'oraisa but Kalach R'yad for Imbo Sakana? Ritva said that you cannot. Rashba says that you can. Says the Pnei Yeshua that the way to interpret this Gemara and Ksubis with the gutter depends on the Machlokas Ritva versus Rashba. So anyone want to try to chap the connection? I'll go through it, but anyone try to chap the connection? Can you see why this would be connected to the Ritva versus the Rashba? Go for it. Well, someone just raised his hand and said he's not putting the foot in the toilet, if that's the solution. Here, we'll come up with better solutions than that. Then? Good. Good. Okay, fine. You hit it. So let me flesh out what Penny just said. Penny Yeshua says like this. Yeah. So let's stop for questions first. Yeah. Okay, fine. Don't worry. It's not gonna be your foot. Don't worry. We're gonna find. Should make a joke. Fine. Okay. So so he says like this. Starting the shita of the Ritva. Ritva shita was that we do not let you do malacha deraisa kalachar yad for cholash embo sakana. Says the Penny Yeshua, if we're not letting you do a malacha kalachar yad for chola, why would we let you do a malacha for hefset? Hefset is not as important as a chola, someone who's sick. So if the Ritva is not letting you do a malacha kalach haryad for a chola, how is he going to explain this gemara? How are we letting you clear out this gutter kalach haryad? That's the question of the Pnei Yeshua. Says the Pnei Yeshua, we have to conclude, according to the Ritva, this gemara and ksubis must be discussing a double derabana. That clearing out a gutter is going to be a double derabana. On two accounts, for two separate reasons, it's downgraded from a deraisa to a derabana. What's the double derabana? So first of all, you're doing a kilach haryat. Since you're doing this in an abnormal manner, that knocks it down to an issur derabana. And second of all, and this is going to be crucial for the psak halacha, this is only going to be makiva patish derabana. Unclogging a gutter is only makiva patish derabana. It's not significant enough. It's not a significant enough rectification to be makiva patish deraisa. It's only makiva patish derabana. Since it's a double derabana, so we're going to waive that, but makom hefsid. Just like the Ritva waived a double derabanan for a chola, we're going to waive a double derabanan b'makom hefset. So that's how the Pnei Yeshua explains the shita of the Ritva. He doesn't quote the Ritva by name, but he quotes the shita, which is the Ritva. He says the Ritva is going to have to learn that it's a double derabanan in this case. That's the only way to explain why we would waive this. If we won't waive a single derabanan for a chola, we're not waiving a single derabanan for a hefset. It must be it's a double derabanan because the makav apatish is derabanan, so it's kelach riyad plus makav apatish derabanan. That we're going to waive for the sake of hefset. Moving over to the shita of the Rashba had held that we do waive a single derabanan if it's kalach rayad. That if you do a deraisa kalach rayad, it's only a single derabanan, we waive that for a chola. If he's willing to waive that for a chola, he'll waive that for hefset also. In the Gemara, it's just like, you know, we're assuming that hefset is being equated with a chola. So Dov's not happy here, but okay. But if the we're equating hefset with a chola here, and if the Rashba is willing to let you do a deraisa kelach rayad for a chola, he's going to let you do a deraisa kelach rayad for hefset. So really, according to the Rashba, it's going to be makav patish deraisa. Unclogging a gutter will be makav patish deraisa, but we're still permitting you to do it for hefset because you're doing a kelach rayad. When you do a kelach rayad, that knocks it down to a derabanan, and we're going to permit that derabanan for the sake of hefset. So this is the analysis of the Pnei Yeshua, that we had this Gemara in Ksubis that said, you can clear out a gutter, kalach hayad, if it's clogged because of hefset, it's causing you damage, even though there's Yisrael Derabanan here, but we're going to waive them for the sake of hefset. Says the Pnei Yeshua, the interpretation of this heter depends on the Ritva versus the Rashba. According to the Ritva, it has to be a double Derabanan. Just like we only permit double Derabanans for a chola, it's got to be a double Derabanan because the makav apatish is Derabanan and you're doing a kalach hayad. Whereas according to the Rashba, it could be a single derabanan. Just like by a chola, he lets you do a single derabanan. If it's deraisa and you do a kalach hayad, that's permissible. So too for hefsid, we can permit a single derabanan. So really it's makav apatish deoraisa, just you're doing a kalach hayad. So that was the analysis of the primary source. We're going to now plug it into Torah. Let's just stop for a second for questions. And then we're going to plug this into the issue of using plungers and Shabbos. Yeah.
I'm like, Dov, I'm not happy about that. What's his basis for comparing this to a chola?
Okay, so Yona and Dov are teaming up against me here, and the Pnei Yeshua. They're asking, according to the Rashba, just because you permitted it for a chola, who says you're going to permit it for hefset? That's the question that Yona and Dov are just asking. So what the Pnei Yeshua is pointing out is that according to the Ritva, we have a hechrech. We must make a nukimta in this case. It has to be a double derabanan. There's no way he's permitting a single derabanan for hefsid if you're permitting a single derabanan for a chola. So according to the Ritva, it's mochrach. The Gemara is not sensible if you don't say it's a double derabanan. Whereas according to the Rashba, there's no hechrech to say it. It's possible. You could say such a thing that the Rashba would learn it's a double derabanan. But it's possible also to say that it would be deraisa. In the Ritva, there's no room to say it's a deraisa. In the Rashba, there's room to say it's deraisa. That's what the Pnei Yeshua is pointing out. So maybe that helps a little bit. Maybe not. Fine.
I guess it depends how it was worded when he said that for a chola, she'in bo sakana is permitted. Meaning, did he specify for she'in bo sakana, or did he say, or was it more general that, like, you know, was he saying there's an exception by a chola she'in bo sakana? By a chola she'in bo sakana will allow, but everywhere else you're not.
So he's officially coming to explain sugyas of chola.
Uh-huh.
Not necessarily to exclusion of other sugyas and chunks,
okay.
But.
Okay, fine. So then I'm okay.
Okay, I'm good. Yona's okay. Good. Okay. That was not okay, yeah.
What is that? It's really how the Rashba learns Galachia plays into the factor through Durabana.
Okay, it's a fair point. Fine. Now, this issue is going to plug in directly into the issue of using toilets on Shabbos and unclogging the toilet. So I'm going to first show how the Rva Rashba themselves would plug in, and then we'll go through the poskim properly and see what the poskim say about it. Yeah.
Okay, before we even get to that point, the idea of a roof, when the water is sitting there, it could destroy the roof. When you have a clogged toilet, there's no hefset by leaving that
good. Clock good, good, good. So Dove,
40 hours.
Good. So Dove is pointing out that there's no hefset when it comes to the toilet. So that, this is exactly where we're headed. We're 100%, 100%. I didn't say a thing. Fine, so let's move over now to toilets. Let's go over to toilets. So we're going to first analyze it based on the primary sources, and then we'll see what the postman have to say. So the starting point of analyzing the toilets is going to directly connect to this machlokas Ritva versus Rashba, because the bottom line was, there's a machlokas, is there a makav patish deraisa or makav patish derabanan in unclogging the gutter? The Ritva said that it was a makav patish derabanan. That's how the Pnei Yeshua learned the Ritva, that it's a makav patish derabanan. But according to the Rashba, barring Yonah and Dova's issues, in principle, it's very viable that it's a makav patish deraisa. So that was the conclusion of the primary sources. Machlokas Rishonim, is there an issue deraisa or derabanan in unclogging a gutter? Now, I think you'll be okay with the fact that unclogging a toilet is the same as unclogging a gutter, which means that according to the Ritva, unclogging a toilet is going to be an Isser Derabanan. According to the Rashba, it's going to be an Isser De'oraisa. Now, as Dov has pointed out, there's no hefsid when it comes to a toilet. There's no hefsid taking place. So all the cheshbonos of Gemara Ksubas are not relevant. So we now have a clogged toilet on Shabbos. We want to know, is it permissible or Asser to unclog this toilet on Shabbos? So the starting point of the Shaila is going to be Machlokas Ritva versus Rashba. According to the Ritva, we're discussing an Issur Derabanan, that unclogging a toilet is an Issur Derabanan, and we always waive an Issur Derabanan for Kavod HaBriyos. That for Kavod HaBriyos, that's standard that we waive Yisurim Derabanan. So according to the Ritva, it's going to be permissible to plunge the toilet on Shabbos, whereas according to the Rashba, it's going to be very difficult to come up with the Heter, because according to the Rashba, we're involving an Issur Deraisa. If we're discussing an Issur Deraisa of Makom Hakdash, it's going to be much more difficult to come up with a Heter. So I'm just showing how in the primary sources, the Ritva versus Rashba should play into the issue of plunging a toilet. According to the Ritva, it's likely it's going to be permissible because of Kavod HaBriyos, if it's only an Issur Derabanan. According to the Rashba, it's going to be Asur Deraisa, and so it's going to be very difficult to come up with a Heter. So now that we analyze the primary sources, let's move over now to the postgame for the last few minutes and see what they have to say about this issue. So we have on this a big-time machlokas haposkim between the Minchas Yitzchak versus Rav Avadia. Ravadi and Minchas Yitzchak both have opposing shitas on plunging a toilet on Shabbos. So starting with the shita of the Minchas Yitzchak paskins that me'ikar adin, it is perfectly permissible. That is perfectly permissible to plunge a toilet on Shabbos. Why does the Minchas Yitzchak paskin that this is permissible? So he gives two reasons. There are two main reasons why he feels that this is permissible. Reason number one is our Ritva. He doesn't quote the Ritva, but he quotes the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua was in the Ritva. His first reason is the whole school of thought that is an Issur Derabanan, that plunging a toilet is an Issur Derabanan, according to a big school of thought. And if it's an Issur Derabanan, we're going to waive that for Kavod HaBriyos. So one big heter of the Minchas Yitzchak is that plunging a toilet, he's working with the school of thought that it's an Issur Derabanan, and therefore he quotes the Pnei Yeshua, who's quoting the Ritva. And therefore, for Kavod HaBriyos, we're going to waive that Issur Derabanan. So that is heter number one of the Minchas Yitzchak. Then he comes up with a second heter to permit plunging a toilet. He says like this. He says that what's the malacha on the table with plunging a toilet? Malacha of makav patish, that we have a defect in this toilet. And when you plunge it, so you are fixing up this toilet, that should be makav patish. Says the Minchas Yitzchak like this, that we could distinguish between different types of blockages. Sometimes you could have a severe blockage, and sometimes you can have a superficial blockage. When it comes to a severe blockage, so then I can hear why we're going to call this a defected object. And when you fix it up, when you unclog that blockage, you're really making a characteristic change in this object. It was blocked and, you know, it was fundamentally blocked. There was a severe blockage and you're removing that blockage. I hear why that would be makav patish. But if it's just a superficial blockage that happens now and then, so that's not going to be called makav patish. We're not going to say that it's a broken kli because of a superficial blockage. And that would not be an issue of makav patish. So it says the Minchas Yitzchak that if I'm able to use a household device to get this toilet unclogged, I don't have to call in professional. I don't have to use a snake. I can use a regular household plunger. That's called a superficial blockage. That if I, the regular lady of the house can use a plunger to unclog this toilet, a regular person can do it. We don't need to call in the Ghostbusters here. That is perfectly clear. That's clearly a superficial blockage, and therefore it is permissible. So those are the two heterim of the Minchas Yitzchak. Heter number one, short in time here, so I just want to finish. Heter number one is he's working with the Pnei Yeshua, who's in the Ritva, that is the Rabbanon. And so we waive his term, the Rabbanon, for Kavod HaBrios. Heter number two is that it's a superficial blockage. And since it's a superficial blockage, as is evidenced by the fact that you can use this household device, you don't need a professional. Therefore, it's not an Akapater Shtamazoi, and it is permissible. So that's the Shita of the Menchas Yitzchak. Moving over to Rav Avadia. Rav Avadia is machmir on toilets. He holds that it is usur to plunge a toilet on Shabbos. Don't worry, guys. We'll find the heter. He has a heter. So, don't worry. It's going to be okay. So We're okay. He comes to the rescue, but he holds that it's usur deraisa. It says Rav Avadia that is really usur deraisa to plunge a toilet on Shabbos, because first of all, he's working with the school of thought that it's an isur deraisa, like the Rashba school of thought. Rav Avadia holds that it's an isur deraisa, and so therefore he knocks off the first heter of the Menachas Yitzchak. He quotes him, and he does not hold the first heter because Rav Avadia is of the opinion that it's an isur deraisa and not an isur derabanan. So Kadav Rios is not going to help us out. And second of all, says Rav Avadia, now that I say it's an isur deraisa, I don't hold the second heter of the Menachas Yitzchak. He's very harif about this. He says that when we're discussing isur derabanan, so then you can start using sfaras for superficial blockages and, you know, severe blockages, and you can start using your hashara sadas, your own seichel, trying to make distinctions. But when we're discussing an isser schilas as a Rav Avadia, I don't accept these types of svaras. You bring me a source from the Gemara, fine. But to start saying svaras and an isser deraisa of schila, I don't accept. He knocks off both heterim of the Minchas Yitzchak. He says that it's aser deraisa to plunge a toilet. He says, I discuss this with Rav Yashiv. Rav Yashiv agree with me. It is aser to plunge a toilet. So that is the machlokas between the Menachas Yitzchak versus Rav Avadia. Is it permissible to plunge a toilet on Shabbos? The Menachas Yitzchak holds that it's mutter for two reasons. First of all, he holds it's iser derabanan, which we wait for Kavod HaBrios. Second of all, he holds that it's a superficial blockage. Therefore, it's mutter. Rav Avadia argues on both accounts. Rav Avadia says that it's an iser deraisa, so there's no Kavod HaBrios. And Rav Avadia says that once it's an iser deraisa, I'm not going to play these games with these types of blockages. You can't say these sfaras on an iser deraisa. It is usher to do. Now, although they have an academic machlokas, halach al maisa, they're actually very close to each other, as we'll spell out in the last 2 minutes here, that fundamentally they're arguing, they're totally arguing fundamentally, but practically speaking, they get very close to each other. Because like this, although the Minchas Yitzchak says that Meikar Din is perfectly permissible, he says at the end, he has three tshuvas on this. He's Meikal on the first tshuva, Meikal on the second tshuva, and the third tshuva, at the very end, he says that, you know what, just to be super safe, just to be safe, to play extra safe from all the critiques. So he recommends ideally having a goy do it, that ideally he says a goy should do it. And if a goy can't do it, you should do it kalachar yad. You should plunge the toilet kalachar yad. How would you plunge a toilet kalachar yad? So he says that you should use one hand. Usually when you plunge a toilet, you use two hands. He says you should use one hand, and ideally you should use your inferior hand. So if you're a righty, you should use your left hand. It's going to be pretty hard. But he says to do kalachar yad just to exclude all possibilities of critique. So although Meikar Din holds is perfectly permissible, he still says that you should ideally use the goy, and if you can't find the goy, you should do it kalachar yad. So that's what he passes practically. Moving over to Rav Avadia, so although Rav Avadia says that it's also deraisa and it's skila, but he still says he's going to permit it with a goy. He's going to let you have a goy do it. Super special effects here. He's going to let a goy plunge the toilet. And says Rav Avadia that if you can't find the goy, he's going to, so in the Yabia Omer, he ends off with that. He says, find the goy, otherwise you're stuck. But in the Chazon Avadia, which was written after the Yabia Omer, Rav Avadia writes that you should do it through Shnayim Sha'asu. Shnayim Sha'asu is where two people do a malacha in tandem, that they could both do it by themselves, but they do it together, despite the fact that each one could do it by themselves, that downgrades it to an Issa Derabana. So says Rav Avadia in the Chazon Avadia, which came later, he says that lechatchila, you should have a goy do it. And if you can't find the goy, then you should do it through Shnayim Sha'aso. So you just have two people plunge at the same time. That's a weird way of plunging. That's going to knock it down to the Rabbanan. And he says that is going to be permissible for this situation. So although academically they very much argue, but practically they're very close to each other, and that they both recommend having a goy. And if you can't get a goy, knocking it down to a derabanan, either the Menachas Yitzchak says do a kol ha'yad, Ravadi says do it through Shnayim Sha'asu. So at the end of the day, the toilets can be plunged in these methods. So the Ashkenazim and Sephardim, we're all good to go here. Okay, Shkayach. Yeah, so they do recommend it differently. Ravadi says Shnayim Sha'asu. So that's how the Sephardim would do it. And for the Ashkenazim here, you can do kol ha'yad. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Shkayach.